Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody.
Rattle, 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 rattle.
Rattle, rattle, rattle?
Rattle.
It's a little early for rattling.
Is it a little rattling?
Rat Lord?
A little Rat Lord.
A little Rat Lord.
Bathory?
Bathory.
You've seen that, right? That t-shirt that somebody just took as Rat Lord and it was a Bathory shirt?
It's so good.
Brilliant.
Yes.
The more metal the band is, the less legible their name is.
That's correct.
That's how it works.
I like that.
No, it's fun. It's good fun.
Speaking of good fun, no.
This could not have less to do with Rat Lord. Actually, my first movie has a rat.
There's
in
a
it.
Rat in your, you know, do your first movie. There's okay. A rat in there.
There's a rat in there. 1992, A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Aw, yeah.
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 Right in time for the holidays, I am. Watch this December 13th, 2023. So at the time I was. 1 hour and 25 minutes long, this one is. It's a musical. I think you could probably come up with better than that, but a musical directed by Brian Henson.
Yeah.
Son of Jim Henson.
That's the guy.
Starring My Cocaine, Dave Golez, and Steve Whittemeyer.
Hey, Whittemeyer.
Hi.
Your summary for this one? Very short. I did not write it. The Muppets present their own touching rendition of Charles Dickens' classic tale.
I mean, that's good enough for me.
Everybody knows A Christmas Carol, right?
At this point, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. This movie is, I haven't seen this one in a while. It's been a while since I've gone back. Because it's Christmas Carol. You get to a point where in your life where you're like, I'm good on Christmas Carol, thank you.
Yeah.
But I kept seeing how good people kept championing this movie. Don't forget, this movie fucking rocks, by the way. And I was like, all right, shut up. I'll watch it.
Shut up, the people.
Yeah, god damn, quiet down, internet. So I watched it, obviously. And it's really good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. The puppets are so bizarre. The Ghost of Christmas Past is so, it's like this weird little girl, if you remember. They actually puppeted the puppet in a water tank.
Weird.
So she moves all flowy and heavy and weird. It's really out there. And
that's awesome.
Gigantic Ghost of Christmas Present. It's so good. The Come In, Know Me Better Man. Everybody remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that puppet required two or three performers to operate. It's enormous.
Yeah.
And it has blinks. It's got everything. But this is peak. This is right around Ninja Turtles era Jim Henson Studios.
Sure.
This is them pushing the boundaries from a puppeteering and animatronic perspective. So it makes sense that this is kind of what they were doing. And a lot of credit to Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
For playing this straight as a fucking arrow.
Sure, because you're talking to puppets the whole time.
He is dealing with puppets the entire time. And let me tell you what, and I think I texted the group right after I watched this. He donates a bunch of money to Bunsen and Beaker, who are collecting money for the poor in the beginning of the movie. And that's the decrease the surplus population line. And then he finds them at the end of the movie after he has the change of heart and donates a bunch of money to the charity. And they're so touched that Beaker gives him the scarf. And Michael Caine takes a minute and starts to tear up a little bit, taking the scarf from Beaker. And it's I am in near tears watching this man accept a scarf from Beaker. What the hell is going on here? It's so well handled. And I think that's just him taking it so seriously in the role.
Oh, he's so good.
He is. He is an actor's actor.
He has been
for a long time.
A very long time.
And it's just awesome to see that, he could have just taken it as a paycheck job, no question. But he, legit, no, I'm going to rock it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And, the puppeteering's great. The staging's great. It's really thoughtful. Tiny Tim is, of course, you know what I mean? He's sympathetic, but he's not overly sympathetic. It's just, it's really good. It's funny with, the interplay between Kermit and Piggy, who are, an established couple in this one, and there's still that little bit of abrasion that goes on with their relationship.
Right.
It's just so fun through the whole movie that I was just I am stunned at how well this one holds up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was really happy. IMDb gives it a 7.8 out of 10.
Wrong.
Rotten Tomato critics, 77% says 56 of them critics.
Wrong.
Audience, 100,000 plus.
Plus.
86%.
Closer.
Closer. And I'm right behind them at an 8 out of 10.
All right, I'll accept it.
But I'm assuming you would give this higher?
I just figured you were going to go for a 9.
Oh, yeah. No,
I was building you up.
It's awesome. It's really good. It's just the things working against it is It's a Christmas Carol. We've seen it a lot of times, and it's a very abridged version of A Christmas Carol.
Kind of has to be, I guess.
It is, yeah. Gonzo and Rizzo really do a nice job being able to make it jump from place to place to place very quickly and not feel abrupt.
Right.
But it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very good. Very good movie. You can't do too much better. Like, there are a few renditions of A Christmas Carol somehow better than this one.
I have never seen them. Doesn't exist.
There you go.
Well, speaking of puppeteering,
yeah,
I can keep us going with some puppeteering.
Puppeteering.
Puppeteering from the year 2018.
Hmm.
What? Newer puppeteering. My movie's The Headhunter.
The Headhunter.
The Headhunter.
I've been waiting for this one.
Yes, The Headhunter. If you remember, this is the Thanksgiving director. This is his highly rated movie, which the only reason it was on my radar is because I watched Thanksgiving and I did
so
that.
So much hinging on this movie right now.
Yes.
The stakes could not be higher.
They're super high.
They are.
Very, very high. I hope you enjoy this.
My butthole is clenched in anticipation.
Wow.
It is.
Oh, wow. Look at it. It is.
It is. It's a quiver.
Wow. We couldn't get nothing in there.
No, absolutely not.
That's pretty clenched.
That's right.
That's good for you, man. That's real good. I watched this on the 12th of December, 2023. It's an hour 12. It is a fantasy horror movie directed by, again, Jordan Downey of Thanksgiving fame, starring Christopher Reich?
I like that.
Cora Kaufman and Aisha Ricketts. Your IMDb movie summary: a medieval warrior's gruesome collection of heads is missing only one. The monster that killed his daughter years ago. It's a good concept.
Yeah.
Again, the Thanksgiving director, and this is a good amount of years after Thanksgiving, at least 8, if this is correct, you know? So the effects are a little better.
Right.
What I found really cool is, because the budget of this movie, they filmed this in Portugal. It had a budget of $30,000.
Whoa.
That is it.
Okay.
That is not a lot. So this director who has, you know, like we said, he trained under Wes Craven and whatnot, he did all the makeup and special effects himself.
Damn.
For this movie, probably for free.
Full on Manborg in it.
Yeah, he did. But yet I'd seen it had a high critical rating, so we had to go check this out because Thanksgiving I did not enjoy. Pretty cool movie.
Okay.
You start off with the opening scene where his daughter gets attacked by a monster. You never see the monster. You witness him, kind of his heart breaking as he realizes he's too beat up to save his daughter that is taken out by this monster. And you're not sure what kind of monsters lurk in this world. And you slowly, so you fast forward and you see there's heads on the wall, but you never clearly see too many of them at once.
Sure.
Until later into the movie where you realize, oh, that's like probably a goblin and this is probably that. And it's very... He's very much a Viking kind of character, and he'll hear a horn from the castle that's so far away, and he literally just grabs a spike, puts it on the wall for the next head, grabs his axe, and goes to go kill whatever it is.
That's cool.
And he's just waiting for the thing he couldn't kill years ago that killed his daughter.
That's pretty neat. Very like Shadow of the Colossus.
Gotta go kill this thing. And it's pretty well done. It's a lot of the same over and over again. Is kind of the problem.
Right.
And when you get to the end, because at some point, of course, the thing will show up. And they do a good job of like showing you different monsters. Like you'll hear something by the window and he'll go kill it real quick. And you're like, oh, okay. So this is a fantasy world because it's not clear. I'm like, are there dragons? Are there, you know, other things? Is Cthulhu in here? Like I got no clue.
Right.
But they do keep it kind of grounded in a fantasy RPG kind of take. But the monster does show up and it gets pretty hairy for a while. And I like what it did. I just felt it was kind of obvious.
Okay.
Was my only thing. Cause I'm like, this is going to do this. And then they do it. And you're like, well, it looked cool. This was cool. I'm not out. And then a little more will happen. And you're like, oh, don't do that though. And then they do it. And you're like, it was still fine though.
Right.
But this movie is pretty good. Knowing it's a $30,000 movie, I think it's the greatest $30,000 movie I've ever seen. I am so impressed with this movie finding out its budget.
That's cool.
Holy hell. So, IMDb, give it a 5.4.
Okay.
The critics, 19 critics. Rotten Tomatoes, 95%.
Okay.
So, way up there.
Yep.
The audience, 250 plus. 52%.
Quite a different take.
So, before you hear my score and my wife's score, it seems like there's two camps on this one.
Yep.
Where do you think the wife falls?
That's tough.
And she's very punishing.
I feel like it could be that she enjoyed it because it was doing what it set out to do, but I also feel like she could have gotten bored with how formulaic ended up being. So, I'm going to say she gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that you gave it a 6.0.
You're pretty close in what you thought.
Okay.
The wife gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
I gave it a 7 out of 10. It is a very good movie for what it is, especially learning about the budget.
Yeah.
I wish it looked slightly better.
Right.
But knowing that budget, I'm like, no, it looks great.
Sure.
You're so torn. You're like, holy shit, this is amazing. This guy made this.
Yeah, it's like, this doesn't look too, this looks pretty cheap. And they're like, never mind, this looks super expensive.
But wait a minute, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Definitely watch it and make a judgment for yourselves.
That's awesome. How did you watch it?
So it was, what was it, on Vudu or something? Like it was on,
okay.
Or Roku or something. It was like, okay, watch
so
an ad.
A little hunting,
and,
but yeah.
I had to do a little hunting for the headhunter, but once we found them, it was like, watch an ad, and then you can watch this movie for free. And I'm
awesome.
Like, perfect.
Very cool.
Yeah.
1994.
I remember that year.
A Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah. I remember 34th Street.
Yeah, I watched this on December 14th, 2023. It's 1 hour and 54 minutes, a family film,
mm-hmm.
directed by Les Mayfield, starring Richard Attenborough, Mara Wilson, and Elizabeth Perkins.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Your summary for this one, a lawyer and a little girl must prove that a man claiming to be Santa Claus is in fact the real thing.
What a classic scene in a movie.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of, this movie is a classic. First thing I wrote.
Yep.
So this movie is, everybody knows the story, right? Is
like, I think so.
Yeah, like mall Santa or department store Santa. Department store was the word I was tripping over. Department store Santa claims to be actual, factual Santa.
Yep.
And they have to go to court to, you know, suss out, is this Santa? What is Santa? What does Santa mean? And you kind of break down the concept of what Christmas and Santa and all those things mean, which is a neat way to kind of make it mean something to children as they start to age up, which mm-hmm. is really cool. And I think that the movie does carry that torch. I just am not 100% sure why this movie needed to be redone.
But that's fair.
Like, it just feels like they hit the same beats. It feels very 90s.
Sure.
So it's like we just want this to resonate with modern audiences, but now that charm's been lost. You know what I mean? 20 years later.
It could just be a paycheck
30
thing.
30 years later, dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, I love Richard Attenborough. I mean, who doesn't?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Jurassic Park and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But it just feels so samey. Like, it just, I just was like, okay, like, I'm not really sure. Like, this isn't black and white.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it looks like, you know what I mean? Something from the 90s, like Wanamaker's or something, like some department store of that ilk. Like, not really sure. It's actually, I believe, Kohl's, but like not K-O-H-L, but C-O-L-E.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the department store they made up for the movie.
The evil, like, Kohl's.
It's got Dylan McDermott in it, which is always a treat.
Sure.
It just feels, you know, like I just at the end, I was just like, yeah, I've seen it. And I've seen this version before and it's fine, but it doesn't do any, like, it doesn't do anything for me that the original doesn't do.
So why not just do that original?
Yeah, it just felt like it was kind of like, okay. Like, it wasn't super compelling in any real way. I think Mara Wilson brought it, but this was right before Matilda.
Right.
So it was cool to see, like, the kid, and she has to carry the movie, right?
For sure.
She has to be the one. And I think she does. I just think overall, I just kept thinking, like, not really sure why they made this movie exactly. Who are this movie's for now, 30 years later?
I guess there are people who won't go back.
Yeah.
They're like, it's black and white. I won't do it.
Yep.
So I guess it's for those people.
I guess so.
Make the same thing. Get their money.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's your $1994. So IMDb gives this a 6.6 out of 10.
Oh, bullshit.
Rotten Tomato critics, 35 of them give it 60%.
Okay.
The audience, 50,000 of them, they're the same, 62%.
Oh, boy.
And I'm coming just a touch under everybody to 5.5 out of 10.
Because we just don't need
just,
it.
Yeah. Not exactly sure why this movie is.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Very fair. Well, speaking of movies, we're not exactly sure why this is.
Oh, this is.
Because what a weird concept for a movie. 2023's Barbie.
Barbie, oh boy.
Barbie. It's Barbie time.
Yep.
Because you know me. I'm a classic Barbie girl.
You're Knuff.
Living, I am. Thank you. I appreciate hearing someone else besides me say it. I watched this on the 28th of December, 2023. It's 1 hour 54, genre action comedy fantasy, or adventure, I'm sorry, adventure comedy fantasy.
Maybe just keep listing stuff off. It's
none of this matters. Toy? It's a toy. directed by Greta Gerwig, mm-hmm. starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, and Issa Rae.
Yeah.
Your IMDb movie summary. Barbie and Ken are having the time of their lives in the colorful and seemingly perfect world of Barbie Land. However, when they get a chance to go to the real world, they soon discover the perils of living among humans.
Oh, and there are so many.
There are. I was very excited that the wrestler rule was in full effect, because there is a John Cena cameo in this movie, which was very
fun. How can you be sure?
I couldn't see him, but he was in the credits.
Oh, okay. He's just listed in the credits. Got it.
Mm-hmm. This is the weirdest social commentary movie I've ever seen. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
It's talking about gender equality. It's talking about sexism. And it's got good points, but it's just the most bizarre fucking movie ever. The
oddest vehicle for all of this.
This very much feels like, all right, we have the rights to Barbie. How are we going to turn this into a movie? I don't know. Throw some bullshit together and get the hottest people we can think of to play in this movie.
When they said that Greta Gerwig was due to direct this movie, I was just like, I don't know what this movie is going to be, but it is not going to be anything anyone would expect a Barbie movie to be.
100%. This is one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen. This movie is bizarre. I think both Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are great in it. I think they sell it really well. There is a great line at one point where Margot Robbie says something about, because she's like having a bad time and like she's crying and upset, and she says something about feeling ugly or something, and there's literally, they're like, this is the point where we regret casting Margot Robbie, she's too beautiful. And it's just like this throwaway thing. They don't do that at all at any other point in the movie.
Wow.
But they just like, we have to call out that this is not, you just can't believe this.
Yeah.
But just go with it.
That's funny.
I'm like, that's pretty silly. But the fact that there's two worlds is very bizarre. Getting between the two is also very stupid.
So it's like Super Mario Brothers.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. But like, everything's bizarre on purpose.
Right.
So it makes it a little weirder to kind of discuss. Will Ferrell's in it, and he is like the president of Hasbro, and he's aware of Barbie Land, and it's just so incredibly bizarre. Huh. I like certain aspects of it. I like that Ryan Gosling as Ken feels inadequate.
Right.
That Barbie doesn't notice him. And when they go to the real world, it's like, well, what do you even do? He's like, I beach. Because that was his original thing.
Yeah.
It's just beach Ken. And he's like, I beach. That's what I do. Like, what does that even mean? And like, they show up rollerblading in their hot pink gear. And everybody's like, what is up with these people in the real world? It's so funny. It has great moments, but it's just a bizarre movie.
Right.
I just can't stress enough how weird this is as a concept.
Yeah.
And how we're talking about this pretend world. And then there's references to our actual world and the people who created Barbie.
Right.
And I'm just like, what is this actually?
I think I think it's interesting in the fact that Barbie has become such an enigma, right?
Right. Like
Barbie's gone through changes visually because of the way we react to what Barbie should or shouldn't be for a little girl. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, Barbie represents so much more than a plastic doll anymore,
right,
that I think the idea of encapsulating it in this like amorphous concept of what Barbie is as an idea or has been over time is interesting, and certainly a cool approach I didn't expect.
I mean, when they get in the real world and the little girl's like, oh, you're Barbie? Well, I don't like you, Barbie. Nobody plays with you, Barbie. I can't live up to your crazy expectations. And
right,
like, you're not a good representation of women.
Right.
And like, Ken's like, oh, men rule the world out here. This is awesome. And he kind of turns into a dick. And like, it's done very tongue-in-cheek on purpose.
Right.
And there's a lot of weird sexual innuendo thrown in here too. So I'm just like, what is this? I just don't know.
Right.
But I think it's an experience. I know this movie killed it in the theaters.
It did.
I mean, for some reason, it pairs good with Oppenheimer.
I'm so impressed that both those movies just branched onto that marketing.
I like, everybody was like, well, Barbie's crushing Oppenheimer. I'm like, Oppenheimer can play four times a day on his movie screen, where That's Barbie right. can play quite a bit more.
That's right.
But I think this is one of those things, if you remotely heard Barbie movie and you weren't turned off by it, I think you should check it out, because you're going to feel either you love it or hate it.
I think it's cool to see a movie like this get exposure in a mass way, because we talk about movies like this flying under the radar constantly.
All the time.
And it's just like a movie with something to say actually making it on the screen, and funnily enough, alongside another movie that has a lot to say.
Yeah.
It's really an interesting time for theatrical cinema.
Yes, it is. But we're going to go to the scores, and the scores are very interesting as well. IMDb gave it the best possible score, a 6.9.
Nice.
Rotten Tomato critics, 494 of them, 88%.
Wow.
The audience, 10,000 plus, 83%.
Shit. I didn't expect those to be remotely that close.
That's right. But you've got a score for me and a score for the wife. Does the wife like Barbie is the question I pose you.
I'm going to say no.
You think my wife does not like Barbie?
I think not enough people died in this film.
Oh, there wasn't enough murder in this movie.
Correct.
You would be correct. My wife gave this a 5 out of 10, where I gave it a 7 out of 10. I think it's a cool movie. My wife was shocked that I gave it that number. She's like, what did you even see in this movie? I was like, I just thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot. You know, you can just pick and pluck.
That's right.
That's it. That's it. Come on, Barbie. Let's go party.